Stu Does America.
The new podcast series, State of the Race, is available wherever you get your podcasts. You can find it under the Stu Does America stream, absolutely free. Going to be updated even more and more as we get closer to the general election and November. Something strange is going on with our current press secretary, KJP. We will find out the truth behind her on YouTube, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. She's got a little, a dirty little secret. We're going to investigate it. youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Check it out now. Glenn Beck is going to be here with his reaction to Super Tuesday. Peter Schweizer is here with a warning about what the Chinese are up to within our own borders. But we start by doing the dawn of the general election. We're here, everybody, in case you missed it. Although there was some good news. From Nikki Haley and for Nikki Haley yesterday. Yes, Nikki Haley won a state. Nikki Haley defeats Trump in Vermont. Yeah, great news for Nikki Haley. And then, like, you know, a couple minutes later, Nikki Haley has exited the Republican presidential race. Sorry, Nikki, it's all over. Now, this is something basically we... The timing of this, I think we nailed pretty well, which was she would hang in here until Super Tuesday, see what happens. Why not? She's got money. There's no real downside for her personally. Check it out. See what happens. Maybe you get a miracle. The miracle did come in Vermont, but only in Vermont, as most miracles do, mostly in Vermont. Here is Nikki Haley talking about her suspension of her campaign.
When I began, I said the campaign was grounded in my love for our country. Just last week, my mother, a first-generation immigrant, got to vote for her daughter for president. Only in America. I am filled with the gratitude for the outpouring of support we've received from all across our great country. But the time has now come to suspend my campaign. I said I wanted Americans to have their voices heard. I have done that. I have no regrets. And although I will no longer be a candidate, I will not stop using my voice for the things I believe in.
You know, candidates have been hoping since 2016 to get Trump in a one-on-one battle in the primary. She got the chance, and it just, you know, wasn't enough. Her slice of the Republican Party just not big enough to win a one-on-one campaign against Donald Trump. She did have a message to Donald Trump in her speech as well.
In all likelihood, Donald Trump will be the Republican nominee when our party convention meets in July. I congratulate him and wish him well. I wish anyone well who would be America's president. Our country is too precious to let our differences divide us. I have always been a conservative Republican and always supported the Republican nominee. But on this question, as she did on so many others, Margaret Thatcher provided some good advice when she said, quote, "Never just follow the crowd. Always make up your own mind." It is now up to Donald Trump to earn the votes of those in our party and beyond it who did not support him. And I hope he does that.
You know, look, that's just not Donald Trump's way. He's not going to come out and be like, you know what, we really love Nikki Haley and she's fantastic. Sometimes he'll do that, actually. He does have those moments where he kind of talks that way. It didn't feel that way about Nikki Haley. I think this one answers whether you think she's going to be VP nominee or not. Nikki Haley got trounced last night in record-setting fashion, despite the fact that Democrats, for reasons unknown, are allowed to vote in Vermont and various other Republican primaries. Much of her money came from radical left Democrats, as did many of her voters, almost 50% according to the polls. At this point, I hope she stays in the race, quote unquote, and fights it out until the end. I like to thank my family, friends, great Republican Party for helping me produce, blah, 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 blah. Biden is the enemy. He is destroying our country. Make America great again. Look, you know, primaries inflame tensions. Everyone becomes nuts. I say this over and over again. Primary season is the dumbest season. People who, you love Ron DeSantis one day, you hate him the next day. You love Donald Trump one day, you hate him the next day. Everyone's just all over the board. Everyone gets their little camps and they get all angry. Usually these things heal themselves before the actual general election. And I will say, while Nikki Haley's percentage of the Republican primary electorate is not particularly high, she does do well with moderates for sure. But I mean, you know, maybe she's one-fifth of Republican voters. That 20% of Republican voters is 20% of voters that you absolutely need to win a general election. So you have to figure out a way to bring those people back and get more than just those people. We will see if Donald Trump can do that. Usually every candidate can. Right? It's not usually a hard thing. It's easy to say now if you're a Nikki Haley supporter. I talked to some DeSantis supporters who are pissed off about the way Trump treated DeSantis. And, you know, they say, well, I'm not going to Trump. And that may very well be true for some of them. But generally speaking, when you're about to sit through 8 months of Joe Biden attempting to sell you on his vision of what's coming in the future, most people are just going to come home and be like, look, I've got a one-on-one choice and there's not much I can do. Super Tuesday, Trump and Biden cement all but certain rematch. I mean, again, we're down to health problems, basically, or legal problems. It's the only thing. And honestly, you can look at that at both Trump and Biden's side. Obviously, the health problems for Biden are more significant. Trump is, you know, seemingly healthy, but also in his late 70s. The legal problems for Trump have been well documented. Not as well documented are the legal problems for Biden as it associated with his son and the business dealings. All that's going on. I mean, you know, the guy could be literally impeached between now and the election. So there's still a lot to come on that. Here's what the delegate race looks like if you want to check it out. You know, obviously Biden has 1,288 delegates and other is five, his top competitor. He's won all 15 states. Trump's won 14 states. Haley did win Vermont and D.C., but, you know, 722 to 46 on the delegate count. He should wrap this up probably next week. He might need a couple more contests just to get over the line, but this is over, obviously, and it's been over for a long time. Now, on the Democratic side, there was a little bit more drama when it comes to uncommitted protest votes. Minnesota's uncommitted protest vote exceeds expectations, surpasses support for U.S. Representative Dean Phillips. This is more embarrassing for Dean Phillips, really, than it is Joe Biden. Look, does Biden care if, you know, I mean, these are the numbers here. Uncommitted versus Biden, how the protest vote fared on Super Tuesday. Here's the number. North Carolina, 12.7%. Massachusetts, 9.4%. Minnesota, 18.9%. Colorado, 8.1%. Alabama, 6%. Tennessee, 7.9%. Iowa, 3.9%. And you might look at this and you say, well, look, is it that big of a deal? You know, because similarly to what we were just talking about with Donald Trump, Joe Biden needs those voters to actually win a general election. He can't really do it without them. But the difference is where these voters are. If you look at the two, if you kind of put the two parties in your mind on a chalkboard, the voters who Biden is wishy-washy with are the ones on the left side of his party, where if they're going to go anywhere, I mean, they'd have to go to Jill Stein. They'd have to go to, you know, Cornel West, RFK, one of those people, third party. Maybe that will happen at some level. But usually when they come home, they'll come back home to the middle. Some of those Haley voters who probably would elect Nikki Haley as a general election candidate if they got the opportunity, now without that opportunity, may actually go to Biden. These are people to also the left of the party. Both of these pockets of voters that are wishy-washy are to the left of their parties. You know, there's really nowhere to go if you are, some hardcore pro-Hamas person, other than a third party that you obviously know is probably not going to win. On the other side, with Biden, there it's different. Or with Trump, excuse me, it's different. You know, you have to move to the right to get to Donald Trump, and a lot of them don't want to do that. So, you know, Trump will have to work at it, but he, you know, seems to have a way of persuading voters, certainly in Republican primaries, very, very well. The one fun story of the night was in American Samoa. Now, we have talked a lot about smaller candidates, people. I love the quirky candidate stories every single year. I love it. I, after all the stuff we've done, had never heard of Jason Palmer. Who knew? Jason Palmer was a candidate, but he was. And he actually beat Joe Biden in American Samoa, my favorite of the Samoas. Just pointing that out there. I'm a patriotic guy. American Samoa, the best Samoa, other than the cookies. The cookies are actually number one, then American Samoa, then Samoa. My point, though, is that it's kind of funny that he lost. He's basically saying, it's American Samoa. It's a little quirky. And I will say there was less than 100 total votes cast in the primary. So I wouldn't be too concerned, though it is just funny to see Biden fall on his face in a place other than on stage, which is usually where he's falling down. America. Make this year your most awesome yet with a box of awesome from Bespoke Post. Every single month you get one. It's a box of awesome filled with carefully chosen gear from the best small brands around the world. Check out this one. This one just came in. And, you know, there's always something fun in your box of awesome. Got this one here. And what do we have? Ah, yes, we got ourselves an axe. Now, this is this is just really cool. And it is just a high quality item. This would be a great gift for any axe murderer, you know. But I also will say, I'm the most indoorsy guy, you know. I don't really have a use for an axe. And, you know, you think, oh, well, why are you excited about getting an axe? Well, I got an axe already one time from a box of Bespoke Post. This is a couple years ago. And since then, I've had tons of uses for axes. In fact, I use it all the time. Why? Because I got a freaking cool axe. And I'm going to go chop stuff in my backyard. I don't know why I'm doing it. I just like doing it. All I know is Box of Awesome is really cool. Everything you get in these boxes, it's way, way more expensive than what you actually pay. It's a great deal and a great gift for anyone around you. To get started, get the quiz going at boxofawesome.com. Your answers will help them pick the right Box of Awesome for you. And you become a member, you'll get access to all sorts of great discounts, you know, 30% off or more on stuff you want to buy. It's free to sign up. You can skip any time, and you get a free mystery gift with your first monthly shipment when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code STU at checkout. Boxofawesome.com. The code is STU. Get your free mystery gift with your first monthly shipment right now. Boxofawesome.com. Code STU.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flare over it that I wouldn't be seated, so I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
I'm joined once again by Glenn Beck. He has a brand new special coming up next, 9 p.m. Eastern on Blaze TV. Tonight, it is called How China is Waging a Secret War on American Soil. Glenn, how's it going?
Pretty good.
You have Peter Schweizer on the show.
So it's always good. Well, yeah. It's always actually bad. I'd like him to do some research and then just come back and go, you know, I did 2 years of research, not as bad as I thought I was.
Yeah,
wouldn't it be nice?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice?
He never does that.
Every single day that we do this broadcast, it's like drinking from a fire hose. Every day there's something like, wait, what is happening?
Right.
It's crazy.
Yes, it is crazy. And he's going to be coming up to preview your show here in just a few minutes. It's a big one, though.
Very important.
Really. I mean, you know, Peter, he knows everything. He has every bit of research locked down in his brain. I don't know how he does it, but he's been working on this for a long time.
This is the biggest crime in American history perpetrated by anybody in our government.
Hmm. That's quite the statement, because there's been a lot of those.
Yeah, there's been a lot, but not like this.
No. All right, let me start with the election, the Super Tuesday. What are your impressions of the primary that wasn't?
It wasn't a primary.
It wasn't.
If the Democrats didn't want Trump, if they actually thought he was Hitler, you would not do what they've done to him. You could have done it right after he was in office, maybe. But they waited until primaries. And as soon as everybody, the primaries start, then they start filing all of these court cases. Well, you made him into a martyr. You made him into a messiah, the Mahdi. I mean, that's who he has become.
Yeah.
He's bigger than just an individual. Now he's a cause. He's a statement. He is a sword to wield.
Yeah. Do you feel the same way I do, that this primary feels like the Star Wars prequel? like the when it first came out, it was a huge like 25-year buildup, and then it was like, oh, Jar Jar Binks, that's what you came up with and all that time?
Yeah, it is.
That's kind of what this feels like. It's just like there's no intensity, no battle. Like it was just really, this is Donald Trump's party, and he won easily.
Right, and the thing that I think a lot of people might have felt, but I think this is going away, you know, a lot of people don't like the way Donald Trump speaks or, you know, I think he's funny, but
he is funny.
Yeah. But a lot of people don't like that. I think that is because I've talked to people over the last couple of years. OK, but what has to be done? Who actually is willing to do it? There's only been one other name, DeSantis. Nobody voted for DeSantis. So it's Trump. And Trump is the kind of guy that, I mean, he's a wartime president. You know what I mean? You want somebody who goes in who now knows the mission really clearly. He didn't know how deep that poison was running. He knows it now probably better than anybody else. And, you know, I'm guessing he is surrounded by a lot of people who are, I know the Heritage Foundation is doing with Project 2025. How do we dismantle all of this? Mm. How do we stop this poison? You know, he'll do it.
You've met with him several times. You've talked to him on the phone several times. You have, I mean, it's some level of relationship with Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Is he going to be able to get the right people around him for this?
Yeah, I think so.
You think so?
It was a concern of mine, and I asked the Heritage Foundation, because Project 2025 is preparing whoever the candidate was. They are vetting people. And they're also setting up law firms that will support people. Because if you work for a Republican administration, Lawsuit Central is coming your way, and they know that. So they are setting aside money and lawyers and everything else for everybody so they don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. Their goal was to have, I think, 4,000 people sign up to be vetted for a position in the administration. Last number I heard that they have is 10,000. And they think that by the time it's needed, they'll have close to 20,000. So my concern was, who's going to go to Washington if you know your life is going to be, you know, Rudy Giuliani? What happened? What they did to him?
Yeah, they destroyed him. They took him from the, you know, America's mayor to.
Right. But I think there's.
Threatening him with prison.
The good news is there's a lot of people that understand what we're facing and are willing to say, all right, I'll do it.
Now, let me change the subject to Michelle Obama. She came out today and said she is
You're loving this story.
I am. This is my story. You've bet me thousands of dollars that Michelle Obama would be the Democratic nominee, despite her frequent denials that she has any interest in this.
It's all part of the plan. It's all part of the plan.
You don't feel any hesitancy after the announcement?
Of course I do. Of course I do. I mean, I'm bluffing as much as you are. We don't know. Yeah. But it just, to me, it makes sense. If something would happen to Biden,
whether it's health or they force him out or he says, I have a family issue, whatever it is.
If something would happen to Biden, nobody's going to go for Kamala. She's less like than he is. Mm. Okay. So that's not going to work. You cannot replace her with somebody who's not a black woman. Because that's the only reason, as I think we all know now, she was on the ticket.
As Biden said beforehand, he was going to choose a woman of color.
Okay, so she's not going to be it. So who could step in and rally and change all the dynamics? And who could say, I don't want this job. I didn't like it at the White House, and I saw what my poor husband went through, and I don't want to do that, but...
The reluctant leader.
I'll do it for you.
You're talking me back into it. She denied it today. Why?
I know.
Okay. But this is what's interesting here, is because, you know, that's the George Washington pitch, right? They'd come after him and say, look, he doesn't want to do this.
But that was real with him.
It was real with him.
It was real with him.
Obviously, it's a lie with Michelle Obama. I want to touch on something that we talked about.
No, I don't think it is a lie with Michelle Obama. I don't think Michelle Obama would like that job. But being married to the guy who would like another term and has pretty much had one term, an extra term here with Joe Biden, I could easily see him saying, honey, listen, we're this close. Everything you hate about this country, we are this close. I'll do all the work. I'll take all the hits. I'll just please. And I think she's as much of an ideologue, if not more so, than he is. Mm. She's kind of Hillary Clinton without the crazy, I got to be president attitude.
Yeah, very, very true. Yeah. Okay. I wanted to touch on the George Washington thing, though, because you brought it up on radio today. And we are starting to see maybe the fruits of everything that happened 10, 15 years ago with the Tea Party,
yeah,
where leaders who were young then are now growing into the ages where they can run for Congress, they can hold these high-profile positions. People look at the Tea Party and they say, oh, well, that just dissolved and went away.
No.
Is that the right way to look at it?
No. I think we are seeing the fruits of long labor in the vineyards coming to fruition now. This started with an awakening where, what was his name on the Chicago trade floor said, said, this can't stand. There needs to be another Tea Party. Mm-hmm. And that kind of, that thinking went from nobody was doing that ever. Republicans are standing up, what? And look what's happened. The Republicans fought that hard and had control and really flipped a lot of those people, okay? But then everybody said, oh, it's over, it's over, it's over. It wasn't. It just, the roots were growing deep before anything sprouted. Mm. And I think the generation that is now coming up, they are slightly behind the Tea Party generation, but they're the people who maybe weren't a part of that, who have a deeper understanding of history, of the Constitution, of what's really wrong with our country. I mean, until Donald Trump threw, I say to his face, you're a human hand grenade, okay? He just throws himself into something and everything blows up and you're like, hey, wait a minute, what's behind that wall? You know, mm-hmm. Nobody really understood how deep the infection was in the government. Well, I don't think people understand how deep these roots are. They're still pluckable, but they're pretty darn deep with the people that are now starting to stand up. The next generation of leaders, I think we're going to like.
A bit of optimism there. Yeah, well, from I know. Does strange. This happen? And you won't be singing on the show tonight. Right. Don't worry about it. Last one, though. Obviously the Tea Party is part of your life's work, right? Another big part of it is your protection of history. This museum that you have nearby here, you've talked about your prompting a while ago to protect this history. And then today we see this story about the famous picture of the man and woman kissing. After, the whole, a moment of pure elation and victory for the United States, and that's now going to be squashed, or at least was going to be squashed.
Oh, it will be.
Do you think this is, because they said memo, and it wasn't, we didn't mean to release it.
How many memos have you ever written that were not supposed to go out?
Right.
It took a long time doing all the research for this memo, getting it just right, and it's, hey, whatever you do, don't send that out.
Throw it away immediately.
Right.
That doesn't happen.
It's not supposed to go out to us, but it was supposed to go out to somebody. We're not going to ban gas stoves. We're banning gas stoves, okay? So it's going to happen. It just shows you, I think this is the most important story of the day, at least for me. American history is going to be destroyed if these people win. It will be destroyed. That is an iconic American photograph. Mm-hmm. That is like a Norman Rockwell kind of painting of American history, okay? It's just emblazed on our minds when you think of World War II and victory, okay? You'll put our medical surgeon general, whatever he, she is, you'll put that picture up in the VA, but not the picture of the two kissing, because that might traumatize them. Look, the dude with a skirt is more traumatizing than that picture. The reason why this is important and what people should take from it is you have to be the guardian of history. And I'm going to be making a big pitch sometime soon that you have to print stories out. When you see something, you go, this is important. This piece of history is important. You need to preserve it. Have a stack of paper that has cotton fiber in it, okay? The paper that we have now will become so brittle in 50 years, it will be nothing. They just opened up a time capsule for my my school reunion, okay? No paper was left. People put papers in it and everything else, all gone.
Oh, really? All gone. What, dissolved,
okay, yeah,
essentially?
Dissolved.
The cotton, yeah. Water or whatever.
So you have to preserve things on paper that will last and keep them. And there may come a time when it needs to be hidden. We are living in the very beginning of what could be really dangerous times for the Republic and for people who believe in freedom. And somehow or another, it must be preserved.
Okay, I think a lot of people would like to help with that mission. Is it mercury1.org for that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can save them, or we can save them. I know I'm not going to announce this ever, but I just put into practice a massive undertaking. My staff looked at me and said, "Do you realize what you're asking?" And I said, "Uh-huh." And we have to have it done.
I'm surprised you'd be demanding of your employees. I see no evidence of that in the past. Glenn Beck, his new special is coming up next.
And yet I let you slide by.
I know, it's so weird. 9 p.m. Eastern, it is How China is Waging a Secret War on American Soil. We're going to take a look at what is coming up with Peter Schweizer. He's going to be on that show and with us here in just a few minutes. Blaze TV is, of course, the place to watch it. BlazeTV.com/Stu. The promo code is Stu. You'll save $20. Glenn, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
First of all, I'm just going to say this. If I see a black person walking around with Trump mugshot, I'm going to punch him in the face.
Charles.
No, Gail.
You really can't say that because, A, you don't mean that.
I mean that sincerely. I'm going to just tell you something.
And then you will be arrested for assault. And then what?
I'm going to bail myself out and go celebrate.
I mean, this is one of the big controversies of the day. It depends on how you look at it. Maybe people have different opinion. I just look at Charles Barkley as a guy. He's constantly just kind of saying silly things. I mean, if you watch him on the NBA broadcast, he's always saying something that's controversial. And I mean, he's not really going to go punch anybody. He obviously doesn't like Trump. Used to be a Republican. No longer is. But I don't know. I feel like we can get worked up about a lot of stuff. I'm not going to get worked up about Charles Barkley saying something ridiculous on CNN. It's not going to do it. By the way, Trump is meeting or has met, I guess, with Elon Musk. He was reportedly, according to the New York Times, seeking a cash infusion. This has been immediately basically shut down by Elon Musk, says he's definitely not donating to either presidential candidate. So, of course, look. Worth a shot, right? The guy's the richest guy in the world. Give it a whirl. Maybe he'll throw $500 million your way. Who knows? Apparently, in this case, no luck. RFK Jr. is fueling talk of a Libertarian Party switch. He's a rogue punk rocker. This story makes me ill for so many reasons. Libertarians should not accept him. He is not a libertarian at all in any sense of the term. But why does he want to be a libertarian? Well, ballot access. It's a hell of a lot easier to get on the ballots because libertarians, one thing they're pretty good at for a third party is getting on the ballots, much better than the Green Party or the Constitution Party or any of the other third parties. They do a good job getting on the ballots, and they will have good, solid ballot access again this year. Of course, he wants that line. It makes it easy. By the way, State of the Union is up tomorrow night. We'll have coverage of that, of course, here on the show. And tomorrow night, right after the show, we will go into live coverage of the State of the Union. We've got a State of the Union roast going on. Tomorrow, Dave Landau is going to be there. Michael Malice is going to be there. Sarah Gonzalez is going to be there. Jason Buttrell, Glenn Beck. Going to be a lot of fun. We'll be mocking the hell out of the State of the Union. Happens tomorrow night, right after this program, right here on Blaze TV. matter how much time you have in the morning, you can keep your face wrinkle-free with Gen 90. It's the new instant wrinkle treatment from GenuCell. Yes, Gen 90 instantly reduces the appearance of wrinkles anywhere you use it, whether it's around the eyes, to the forehead, the crow's feet. If you have laugh lines, if you have some issues with, you know, like the way your chin's looking, it can work on all that stuff, and it starts working in seconds. Gen 90 technology is luxurious, nourishing, and silk smooth, and best of all, it starts working in seconds. There's a reason why GenuCell has 400% the customer loyalty brand, loyalty of other competition, and you know they just do it really well. So get GenuCell XV, the collagen builder with moisturizer and vitamin C and hyaluronic acid. It's got a pure natural base. You're going to like this. If you want the best in skincare, you're going to love GenuCell. Gen 90 and XV are on a special sale now at GenuCell.com. Included in the bestseller package, it is the best value in skincare anywhere. Order right now at GenuCell.com/stew and get a free beauty box while supplies last. Plus, free shipping. GenuCell.com/stew. GenuCell.com/stew. It's GenuCell.com/stew. I'm happy to welcome Peter Schweizer back to the program. He's the president of the Government Accountability Institute, co-host of The Drill Down, and author of the new book, you need to have this in your library, Blood Money, Why the Powerful Turn a Blind Eye while China Kills Americans, is available now wherever you get your books. Peter, thanks so much for coming on.
Always great to be with you, Stu. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I mean, your books are always really interesting. You know, I love having you on when you write them because you're always getting deeper than seemingly everybody else seems to do on this stuff. But this one in particular, you're touching on almost every major problem we have in the United States. And I mean, were you shocked to see all of them tie back to China?
Yeah, I was. I mean, we're certainly not saying that they caused them. Mm-hmm. They exist in our country. We do have racial division, for example. We do have issues with drugs and violence. But the fact is that China's fanning the flames. You know, it's as if America's on fire. China's holding this empty can of gasoline, and our leaders are sitting there quietly not saying something about it. Those are really the three components of the book. And yeah, you're quite right. A lot of the maladies and problems that we face today, China is playing a role in exacerbating it and making it worse.
Yeah, let's start with fentanyl, because I mean, really, I remember we did a show way back in the day where we looked at the charts of fentanyl deaths and compared them to the crack epidemic of the 80s. And you know that was, I remember being a huge story and everyone was terrified of it in the inner cities. It's nothing compared to what we're dealing with now with fentanyl. And so much of this ties directly to China's intentional efforts to make the problem worse here in America.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, a lot of people look at the drug cartels in Mexico and sort of point the finger at them, and they should. But they're really the junior partners. This is a Chinese operation. The precursors come from China. They land in the port of Manzanillo in Mexico, 90% of them. That port's run by a Chinese company close to the Chinese government. They send those precursors up to a border town in Mexico. There are 2,000 Chinese nationals there that actually create the fentanyl for the cartels. The cartels use Chinese pill presses to make the pills to bring this poison in the United States. The communications devices that the cartels use, they're encrypted in China. They use those because they know the Chinese won't hand the communications over to our law enforcement. And now the money laundering that the cartels do, it's through Chinese state-owned banks. So the drug cartels are the junior partners here. It's really a Chinese operation, and they view this as a powerful tool to kill Americans. And it's now the leading cause of death for Americans under the age of 45. We lose every year in the United States because of this poison more than the combat deaths in Vietnam and Korea combined. And you're right. And yet, our leaders don't want to talk about it. They certainly don't want to finger point towards China. It's remarkable.
But part of, I think, the problem for the average American to get their arms around something like this is that the motivation is so foreign to Americans. Like, we don't have a plan to figure out an undercover way to kill a bunch of Chinese people. We want them to live.
Yeah.
We that's what we want. We want the best for people, even though they are our adversary and our enemy at this point.
Yeah.
What is their motivation here? Is this just a long-term plan to you know, I mean, we've always talked about how particularly Asian cultures tend to think long term, where maybe Americans don't all that much. I mean, is it part of that? What is the deal here?
I think part of it is sort of revenge for the opium wars that occurred. I mean, it certainly really wasn't us that did it. It was more the British. Mm-hmm. But they view it as a Western thing that really debilitated their country for a century. So I understand that. But their response is to sort of operate in this way. And there's really two stories, I think, that people need to know about President Xi and about his mindset that makes him very different than certainly our presidents and other foreign leaders. Number one, he reveres his father. He built a big mausoleum to his father, thinks his father is great and fantastic. One of his father's signature stories is when his father was 14 years old, he tried to poison his teacher because the teacher was not sufficiently revolutionary. Mm. His father, his President Xi admires that in his father. The second story is that President Xi's wife, who's a very famous singer in China, she was the one that serenaded the Chinese troops after the Tiananmen Square massacre. Wow. So this is a hardened leader who does not view the world the way a conventional Western politician does. Donald Trump is tough, but he's not diabolical in this way. I certainly think President Xi is. So it's revenge. It's a powerful weapon. It's part of their strategy of disintegration warfare. And I don't think that President Xi has particular moral scruples about doing this. He admired it when his father tried to do it to his teacher.
Amazing. And it's not just fentanyl. I mean, you also cover how the gun violence problem, there's a good chunk of the gun violence problem that is being made worse by China. How?
Yeah, there's a small device. It's called an auto sear switch or a Glock switch, highly illegal in the United States. You can get one. You have to get a permit. You certainly can't be a felon or a criminal and own one. China, beginning in 2018, started smuggling them into the United States, and they were particularly marketing them to criminal gangs. This is according to DEA, to criminal gangs and drug dealers in the United States. They would advertise them in English on Chinese websites like Alibaba. You could buy them. And they have led to this massive increase in machine gun violence around the United States. You can go on YouTube and just put in, you know, Glock switch police, and you'll see video after video of cops being shot by a hail of bullets from criminal gangs using these tools. Again, this is part of China's strategy to destabilize the United States, to undermine it. They bring these devices into the country. They spread them to these criminal gangs, and then they run stories on state media saying, look at all the crazy things going on in America. Look how violent they are. Of course, what they never mention is that they were the ones that actually smuggled them into the country in the first place.
Incredible. And it's not just life and death issues like, you know, drugs or violence. You also in the book talk about racial tensions. And as you mentioned, we've had those going on for a very, very long time. But I think, you know, the average person thinks about this and says, why all of a sudden did it get worse? Like, we were going in the right direction for decades and decades and decades, and all of a sudden it got worse. I think there's reasons for that that are outside maybe of China when you're talking about just, you know, iPhone, social media. The Obama administration seemed to want to jump on this road and inflame these divides. But China has a role in this as well. We hear a lot about Russia and their attempts to, you know, to breed chaos in the United States, but China's just as much, if not more, involved in this.
Yeah, a very, very extensive effort. And you're quite right. I mean, I'm not suggesting that they created racial tension in America, but they've absolutely fanned the flames. They have a massive operation involving thousands of Chinese military personnel that each individually set up hundreds or thousands of social media accounts in the United States posing as Americans. And what they do with these accounts is half of them basically say America is this hopelessly racist society. And then the other accounts say, I only like white people, I don't like minorities. They're trying to exaggerate or inflame the racial divisions that exist in this country. And it's a huge problem. And again, it's part of this deliberate strategy to divide America. They call it disintegration warfare. And they see racial tension as an opportunity for vulnerability. If there's anything optimistic in this book, it would be to say, I really believe that some of these divisions in our country are not quite as bad or as severe as we may think they are, in the sense that they're being exaggerated by what China's doing in the online space.
Yeah, but it's a self-fulfilling prophecy at some level, right?
Like,
you keep seeing this, you keep thinking it's worse, your impression is that it's worse, and then it is worse.
Yeah, you got to pick sides, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's lining up on one side or the other and has staked out these strong positions, so they feel like they need to pick side, and that's part of the psychology at work.
Now, you paint this picture of China, and you know, what do you do with that information? My answer to that is to immediately turn my child's life over to TikTok. I think that's a great answer. It's a hilarious answer because and a sad one, honestly, lots of parents... the Biden administration and the Biden campaign is now on TikTok after banning U.S. devices for it. This is a Chinese company with close ties to the Chinese government. And we're like, well, what if we just let them entertain 12-year-olds for the till the end of time? This is a terrible idea, and it is one that comes along with an intent here, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, all you need to know about ByteDance, the parent company of TikTok, is it's populated, and I talk about this in the book, it's populated at the highest levels by people that used to work at the Ministry of Propaganda, used to work for the CCP, and that this company has a joint venture where they're working with the Chinese Ministry of State Security on online propaganda and artificial intelligence.
A joint venture.
Yeah, so these are the people that are feeding our children what they're seeing online. The other thing I do in the book is I actually, you know, don't speculate myself. I quote from Chinese officials talking about how they actually use TikTok. There's a military official who says this is like a Trojan horse that we can use against the United States. They talk about how you break down psychologically young people in the West to get them to reject their historical past, to reject national symbols. And once you do that, they are now suddenly much more capable of being influenced by our ideas, how they embed their ideas covertly into messages. You don't want to be too overt about it. How you appeal to emotion, because when you appeal to emotion, a young person engages in righteous indignation. Mm-hmm. Once they have righteous indignation, they think what you've triggered with them, they came up with by themselves, even though you triggered it. So they've thought this through. They're actively doing it. So while we're debating, is TikTok a threat? They're full speed ahead, and they're already implementing these strategies, and I quote them extensively in the book on how they're exactly doing it.
Yeah, and so the only safe thing for parents to do is to get your kids off TikTok.
Yes.
And then get them on video games in Hollywood, which, by the way, China is also influencing heavily.
Yeah, huge problem with video games. They are buying up video game companies. They are embedding them with these themes as well that are anti-American in the sense of you know, anti-American culture and pro-China. And in a lot of Hollywood blockbusters now, they have co-finance deals where there's Chinese money investing in these major blockbuster movies. And what happens is once that money is included, the Chinese Communist Party now gets a say in what's in the script, not just in the movies that are in China, but in the United States. So I talk about, for example, the Kung Fu Panda series.
Oh, yeah, there's a new one coming out this weekend, right?
Exactly. Yeah, the first two were done completely with U.S. financing. They've got great themes. They've got great. The third one basically turns into a peasants' war and about valuing the collective over the individual. Why is that? That one was co-financed by Chinese investors, and they influenced the script in such a way that it got rid of the individualism and focused on the collective value, which is something that China very much wants to push in the United States.
And is that happening with a fourth one too, so I can plan my weekend?
Yes. It's a similar thing. And and some of the action blockbusters that we're used to seeing as well. Some of the Transformer movies. You know, the movie The Martian with Matt Damon. You remember he gets trapped on Mars. What's the end story? The end story is NASA saves him courtesy of Chinese technology. And that was because there were Chinese investors in the film, and they said, this is what how we want the script to go.
This is incredible. I mean, we're just touching on the surface here. Peter's going to be on with Glenn, and they're going to go into much more depth here the next hour. And then also, the book goes even deeper. You need to have the book. It's Peter Schweizer. The book is called Blood Money, Why the Powerful Turn a Blind Eye While China Kills Americans. You can pick it up wherever you get your books, and you should. Peter, thanks so much for coming on.
Always great to be with you, Stu. Thanks.
Let me tell you about a brand new show we have here on Blaze TV. It's Cooking with the Robertsons. It's available exclusively to Blaze TV subscribers. The show features Phil and Jace and Al and a bunch of others showing off their favorite recipes and cooking up a mess of delicious food and dipping into the godly wisdom they love to share in a way that only the Robertsons can. The show is only available if you have a subscription to Blaze TV. Why don't you have one yet? I mean, we've had them available for a long time at this point. BlazeTV.com. Check that out. Of course, BlazeTV.com. If you use the code Robertson30, you'll get $30 off your first year. You got to hurry. This code is not going to last forever, though. So BlazeTV.com, code Robertson30. Get $30 off your subscription to Blaze TV and start streaming Cooking with the Robertsons right now. We have a new Glenn Beck episode coming up here in a couple minutes on Blaze TV. And of course, check out YouTube, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. We have the State of the Union tomorrow and lots of great stuff there.